this episode of It's a Funny Old Life podcast, I was joined by famous American actor, comedian, and also an owner of Golden Artist Entertainment, Dante the Comic. Hello and welcome back to a new episode of It's a Funny Old Life podcast, and I am pleased to say I'm joined by American comedian, actor, honestly, whatever you want to call him, he's probably been on a lot of it, Dante the Comic. Thanks so much for joining.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
How's it over there in Liverpool right now? What's the weather like?
Well, as we record, it's surprisingly quite sunny. It's late at night. Well, it's just over 8:30. And it's light and it's quite warm for once.
Do you guys get tons and tons of tourists in the summer because of the Beatles?
It obviously we do get wide range of tourists. Preferably because of the Beatles and the two big football clubs.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Liverpool and Everton.
I mean, I live in Hollywood, so I'm very used to tourists. I like tourists. I'm a tourist sometimes. We all are, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're adventure and something new, I'm sure we all are at a point, yeah?
Yeah, man.
like I say, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go straight into it. So talk a bit about your upbringing. So, like, where did you grow up? What did you do? What was your childhood like?
So I grew up in a small town called Ridgecrest, California. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's a Navy base called China Lake. It's attached to it. And I had kind of an exciting life. Like, my dad was in charge of all the visits from presidents and astronauts and things like that. And this was like, he was in charge of all that during the 60s when it was all going on. I wasn't even born back then, but I have footage of like my dad with John F. Kennedy and a bunch of famous astronauts. So that was kind of cool. It was a good way to grow up. But it was a small town, and in small towns, you don't really get to, know cultures, even though I was a military base and I got to know kids of every race, and race wasn't ever an issue because I was born after the 60s. But you definitely, when you grow up in a small town, you just don't get an idea of other people or cultures or things like that. It wasn't until my parents moved me to San Diego, which was a way bigger city, that your mind is really blown and opened to so many other things, you know?
Yeah. When you grow up in small towns, you like you say, you only really know the culture of them towns.
Right. And, you know, in a small town, people get their news from each other, and that's not the best place to get it. You know, I remember sitting in restaurants and hearing like people at the next table bringing up politics and going, what do you know about blah, blah, blah? And the person says something and it's completely wrong. And I just want to go, oh, God, and I want to interrupt and like step in. But that's how they get their news in small towns. It's just, what did you hear? Oh, really? OK, here's what I heard.
And
right now, America is just a big ding-dong factory, man. It's just like, we didn't know we had this many idiots. It's our fault. We should have paid teachers more. That's our fault. But we are a country of half idiots. I'm serious.
You get them in every country, I'm sure. growing up, and you obviously went into stuff like acting and comedy. So when you're when you're an actor, some people usually start young. So did you like go to stuff like acting classes and stuff like that when you were younger?
Yeah, crazy enough, I actually started doing stand-up at 7 years old and acting at about 7 years old. Yeah. And then when I moved to San Diego, which is a much bigger city, it's about 2 hours outside of LA, there were comedy clubs there, and it was the 80s, and I was a kid, and I could run in, perform, and then run out, because the law is you can't be in a bar unless you're 21 here in America. But legally, you can perform as long as you don't stay in the bar. So I would have to run in, do my show, and then run out right afterwards. And that went on for years until I got a fake ID and tricked the comedy clubs and just lied to them and whatever. But yeah, it was a crazy time to start, because when I started, there were so many famous comedians that were, household names. And now, everyone I started with is a household name, like Jamie Foxx or Joe Rogan or, people that are bigger like that, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle.
All right. So do you remember when you were younger and you were doing the stand-up shows? Do you remember the first show that you actually performed in?
Do I remember the what?
The first or show, or when you said you started young, do you remember the first show or stuff, anything like stand-up show that you
Oh,
performed
I
in?
don't remember doing it so much as a kid, because as a child, I only performed at 7. I would just perform at my school and in my backyard. But when I was 15, I remember my first joke was terrible. It was an idiot hitchhiker. And he was basically like, instead of, and then I was like, here's an idiot hitchhiker in the rain. Those are my first two jokes I ever wrote. I was a child, they were funny to me.
So, and going into stuff when you were doing the acting, you had your own sitcom called the Blackberry Inn.
Yeah, so when I turned 21, I moved to Los Angeles and I had been playing some black comedy rooms and I started a night at the world famous Comedy Store here, and it kind of turned into a black comedy night, and I ended up on BET, which is Black Entertainment Television, and ended up getting a sitcom on there called The Blackberry Inn, and I won a whole bunch of comedy awards, and it was kind of a cool experience, man. I was like one of the most famous white people to black people in the 90s. I even went over to London to perform to black people. I was at the Lewisham Theatre and the Hackney Empire and a whole bunch of other places. Sold out, man. I was so famous back then. It was crazy.
So you're saying you won a lot of comedy awards. What sort of awards did you win?
I was just looking at them yesterday, strangely enough. And, I always hate when people win awards and they're like, oh, yeah, they're in my garage. Well, they are in my garage, even though I hate when people say that, but they're not technically in my garage. My garage is a nice studio. So they're in my studio, I should say. But yeah, the awards were things like Best Impressionist, Best, Comic of the Year, stuff like that. I don't remember there, but it was crazy. There were. Four, I won 4 out of 10 awards. So basically, it was like me, two people would go up, and then me, and then two people, and then me, and then two people, and then me, and then the award show was
So the Blackberry Inn, like you said, you performed, and then so how did you get approached for it?
Because I was already doing stand up on BET, they had a show called Comic View. And that's kind of what brought me to England, was Comic View was very popular all over the world. And because I was already on that show, what they did was they picked basically the favorites from Comic View and gave us a sitcom. It was a hotel, and I played like the handyman, and some of the other comedians were the doormen, the maids, the owner, things like that. And each week we would have a celebrity from television or sports or something come stay at the hotel. So that's what it was about.
Oh, brilliant! So, I think you said you performed in, is it 40 other TV shows? I'm not too sure. Tell us about some other ones that you've done then, and a bit of a description about them.
Okay. So one that you guys may have seen over there, we had a show in America called America. Oh no, it was called Last Comic Standing, and I was on a season with a lot of well-known people from all over the world. So my season was me, John Reap, Lavelle Crawford, Amy Schumer, Doug Benson, Gina Yashere, Deborah DiGiovanni, and Matt. I don't know, but it was a lot of, you know who Gina Yashere is?
I can't say I do, no.
She's British. She's British. But anyway, so yeah, I was on that show and that was fun, but it's a reality show that's also contest based, sort of like
Yeah.
Britain's Got Talent or something like that, And it's scarier when, it's only like 10 of you and the whole show is about the 10 of you, because if you fail just on even one joke, they're going to focus on that. You know what I mean? Because it's a reality show. So instead of being on a show like Big Brother or something where you don't care what happens, it's just a game. This is your life, you know? So if you look bad on a show like I was on, people just think you're a bad comic forever.
Mm-hmm. So how did you do on the show then?
Oh, really good, actually. But problem is the comedians on the show get to vote you out for the first five people. And then America was voting on the last five, right? So I kept winning all of these comedy awards on there. Like each week there was like $1,000 prize and I kept winning it. And I kept getting like all the standing ovations. And so they were smart to try to vote me out. Like you'd be a ding dong not to do that. Like, of course you go after the strongest.
So was it true that one time you ran for a mayor of Los Angeles?
Yeah, I ran for mayor of Los Angeles. I'm very political. The time I ran for mayor, I actually didn't want to win. I just knew that I had enough fame in America and in LA to get on TV and debate the people I was up against. And I'm very into politics. I'm a civil rights activist. I'm very involved in, you know, filming the police and LA politics. And so there were just some major things I wanted changed in LA. And because I was able to get on TV and debate these other people, the guy who won mayor changed everything I asked for within the first year. It was great. I got everything I wanted.
So what sort of stuff did you try and campaign for or you wanted to change in America?
Well, here in LA, there were just some, like, we have really bad traffic on some of our freeways. And so one of the things was putting carpool lanes in there to make it easier and, you know, more efficient and things like that. Where we have the Academy Awards is called Hollywood and Highland. And that's where we do the Academy Awards every year. But before that, they were just kind of wherever the Academy Awards wanted to hold them. But the building at Hollywood Highland had been sitting there half built for 10 years. And I wanted it finished because it was just filled with homeless people and thieves and rapists. And they were hurting each other and us. And I got it fixed right away. It was crazy. They started building it again and it's glorious now.
So brilliant. Do you remember when you start, let's go back a little bit. So when you first started doing comedy, do you remember a time where it came to you and you really did think that you were good at it and could have done something with it?
That I thought what?
At the time when you thought that you were good at it and at a time where you thought that you could have been successful in it?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, here's the way I look at comedy. If you can make a living at stand-up, you are successful. You know, I have been a comic basically since I was 7. I've made a full living at it since I was 15. And even though I own a business, my stand-up could still support me without my business. And to me, that's success. I'm living out my dream. I'm doing exactly what I always wanted to do. I have the home of my dreams, the wife of my dreams. I don't need to be Dave Chappelle or Kevin Hart or someone like that to feel satisfied in my career. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't want to be that famous. If I did, I would try harder. But I've been semi-famous before and it's okay. You know what I mean? There's a lack of privacy that's not fun. Especially when I was on Last Comic Standing, because it was live. So I didn't have to like live in a hotel. I was like living my life, but every day people were like filming me and putting up clips of me and my family at the, you know, when I'm just out to eat or if I was at a movie theater. And I just thought, man, this is minor fame. Imagine how horrible it would be if you were super famous. Doesn't sound like fun to me.
No.
I feel like I'm more successful than they are because I don't have to deal with that. I have the career I want, the life I want.
Yeah. So when you did first start like enjoying it and stuff like that, did you was it just a hobby at first? Did you just want it to be a hobby?
No, I always knew. From the minute I was born, I knew I wanted to be a comedian and an actor. Like I was born with it, buddy. I don't know why or how. But I always knew. I always knew. And I've had a really crazy life. I've I was born at the right time. I met the right people. You know, like I got into boxing at a time where Muhammad Ali was still boxing, and so I got to spar him. How many people can say they fought Muhammad Ali?
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's crazy. Just on and on and on, all the weird things that have happened in my life and all the celebrities and odd circumstances. And now, you want to hear something interesting? So when I was a kid, there were some TV shows. I don't know if you guys got them over there, but there were some sitcoms, you know, like Happy Days or Good Times or What's Happening. And the way sitcoms used to be in the old days is they always taught you a lesson. You know what I mean? Like, don't steal. Don't do this. Don't, you know, be nice to your sister. Don't do that. Oh, my beautiful wife just walked in. Hello, dear. But anyway, I really do believe in right and wrong. I think that's why I went into comedy, is to try to get my views out there to people. I get into politics for the same things. I'm an activist for the same things. And I feel like my therapist said to me the other day, she goes, why do you believe in right and wrong so much? And I said, well, I grew up on these, you know, sitcoms that taught me that. And she goes, that's very interesting, because didn't you tell me you represent a lot of those people from the sitcoms that you watched as a kid? And I do. It's like, she goes, so basically you went out and you found your parents. You found your parents, because a lot of the people I grew up watching, I now manage.
Wow, that's, I bet you that's interesting then.
Yeah, man, but it's very crazy, isn't it?
When you were talking there, you got me hooked, say, because I do boxing a little bit myself, that you sparred Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, so what happened was, I had been boxing for a while as a kid, and a friend of mine knew it, and her dad knew Muhammad Ali, and he was going to come sign autographs at that store he owned to get, you know, her dad owned, to get customers to come in. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to bring my gloves, I'm going to bring everything and have him sign it. So I stand in this long line, and when I get up to him, he goes, wait a minute, are you a boxer? I said, yeah. He goes, let's go outside and fight. I was like, what? So the whole crowd goes outside, and we go into the parking lot, and I go, where's your boxing gloves? And he's like, no, no, you hit me. You hit me, I'm not gonna hit you. So I hit him, right? And he goes, you said you're a boxer. Is that the hardest you can hit? I said, no. He goes, you hit me as hard as you can, or I'm going to hit you as hard as I can. And so I was like, okay, then I'm going to hit you as hard as I can, because I don't want to feel you hit me as hard as you can. So I hit him as hard as I could. I'm not kidding. When it hit his chest, my glove exploded. I've never seen a boxing glove explode before. He didn't even flinch or move. That's how strong this man was. So he ended up signing my glove. He signed all my clothing. I just saw it. It was out in my same studio where these, you know, the awards I told you about are. But I got lucky because his daughter, Mei Mei, did stand-up comedy. And throughout his life, you know, throughout the 90s and 2000s before he passed away, I got to meet him a lot more times and hang out with him. And he was a great man. He deserved all the accolades.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's 100% a hero in terms of the boxing world, and God rest his soul. So moving back into the comedy. So say if you had like I'm not sure what you call over there, but like a gig or like a show.
Say, a gig, yeah.
Yeah, a gig. So could you like a rundown what your daily routine would be, how you'd prepare for it on the day?
Okay, I think that most comics would probably agree with this. You kind of sit in your hotel room. You don't really think about it. And then you show up to the show, you go over your notes and kind of look at what you have, and then you kind of put together a small set list. And then from there, you watch the crowd and decide if you're going to do that set list or not. And then maybe you add or take away a few things. But once you've done it long enough, you're not practicing in front of your mirror anymore. You know what I mean? You're almost showing up. Most times when I hit the stage, I don't even look at a set list. I just go up on stage and I go, I've done this long enough that I better know some jokes. But if you asked me to name one of them before I hit the stage, I bet I couldn't. Bet I couldn't.
It's just what comes to your mind when you get up there,
Yeah, man. I you know, it's weird. I remember one time I was doing a show in front of like 5,000 people, and They woke me up basically. I was daydreaming about what I needed to buy at the store after the show, but I was still talking and doing my show and moving and all this stuff. And what woke me up from my daydream was I must have told a joke because now everyone's laughing and I had to kind of figure out where I was in my show again.
So what?
So
Go
I
on
want to
then.
ask you a question.
Go on then.
Have they made this legal in England yet?
I'm not sure. I
You don't know
don't.
if pot's legal in England?
I can't say I do know.
I don't know. It's mostly legal here.
Yeah, I think it's think in terms of stuff like that, laws, and I think it's quite different in it in both England and America. So what do you enjoy most about comedy then?
Honestly, there's a couple of things I enjoy the most. Most people, most comics will say, "Oh, I just love making people happy." Of course, we all like making people happy. You have to be a dick not to like making people happy. But for me, honestly, I think it was the education that I was given for free, and the travel I was given for free. I have traveled the world. I have, seen the pyramids. I've seen Big Ben. I've, been to the Middle East. I have been to Asia. I've been everywhere. And dick jokes paid for that. Me telling some dick jokes got me flown all over the world. My mom said to me one time, I live in a house in Hollywood. It was built by Charlie Chaplin. It's right next to the old Charlie Chaplin studio. It's where I am now. This is a 100-and-something-year-old home. But my mom said to me one time, "Aren't you jealous of your cousin who worked at a Navy base his whole life and now he owns a home on the beach in Ventura?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not jealous of him." I said, "I'll tell you why. Because for the past 35 years, I have been flown all over the world and been given gifts and money and love and hugs and standing ovations. And my poor cousin spent his 30 years under fluorescent lights being yelled at by someone."
Right. So that's what you enjoy most about it. Do you
Yeah,
remember?
the travel and the education, you can't beat it.
No. So would you remember one time you done a gig or a big show? Which one was your most enjoyable one?
Oh, wow, that's a hard question, man. That is. I have never thought of that. There's shows that stand out to me that meant something. Like, for example, when I was 7 years old, I started comedy with a comedy partner named Jared, and we did it from at around our school and stuff. And then about 3 years ago, I was performing in Reno, Nevada at a big casino there. And Jared showed up to my show. He came up on stage and we performed a little bit of our act that we did at 7 years old. And then he proposed to his wife, now wife, his fiance, at the show. So that was probably my most memorable show of all time. But my favorite, I don't know. I mean, if you were to search right now, Dante the comic and stuff, you would even find a video of me in the 90s on stage where someone's threatening to shoot me. And they're not joking. And I'm talking my way out of it. And that wasn't the first time. It was just one of the only times it was on video. And people sometimes had guns. That's just, I mean, I've had a crazy life. I remember one time my parents in San Diego came to bring me my laundry at a show. And I came running out of the building and said, "Go, go, go." And they sped off because me and like 500 black people were screaming and running out of a hotel because someone was shooting inside at a show I was doing with Ice-T, I think.
Wow, that's crazy. Have you had any other big crazy moments in some that makes it memorable like that?
Gosh, I'm telling you, man, my whole life is kind of memorable. I remember in college, there was a girl who said her boyfriend, who went to college, who I knew very well, his name was Eric Bishop, wanted to do stand up. So she came to my work. I worked at a movie theater and she was like, "Hey, don't tell him I showed up. He's really jealous, but he wants to do stand up and he wants your advice and blah, blah, blah." So I talked to him and the next day he was kind of mad. He's like, "Where's my girlfriend at your work?" I was like, "Oh, It's not what you think. So just let me tell you what she said. He's like, yeah, I do want to do stand-up. So I called the Comedy Store in San Diego and I said, hey, can my friend get a few minutes? They said, no, we're booked, but you can give them half of your time. So I did. And I think I drove him there and he did great. And then he started going up on his own. And I remember when I came back to school the next year, he had left. And everyone kept saying, hey, have you seen him on TV? He's on TV now. Well, apparently Eric Bishop changed his name to Jamie Foxx and moved to Hollywood. And now he has Academy Awards.
Bloody hell. That's quite crazy. And so, like you, I think you mentioned it earlier, you have your own agency called Golden Artists.
We have Golden Artists Entertainment. We are a management, booking, and production company. So right now, currently, I have 20 managers that work for me, and they handle about 270 actors and celebrities and clients. And then we have a booking side where people book comedians, and we've got about 500 non-exclusive clients there. And then we have our production side that my wife, Rebecca Cochin, is in charge of. And let me see. And so she runs like our movies and stand-up specials. And right now we have the Worldwide Comedy Contest starting on the 19th of August through the 28th. And I hope all of your listeners come and watch, because we have comics from all over the world performing. So I'm going to tell you the schedule real quick, if that's cool.
Go on.
So here's what's going on. It's not just comedy, you guys. We have guest speakers. We've got, I'll just tell you. So like, so we have a contest for new people and headliners. And then we have nights where there's going to be celebrities doing Q&As. We've got all sorts of great things happening. But anyway, it's the Worldwide Comedy Contest and Awards. We're giving out awards to the best comics in the world. I do know that there are some Brits nominated for some awards, and they possibly have won. I don't remember who won. I was actually given the results the other day, but didn't really look at them that hard. But anyway, I hope everyone watches these shows. It's like $10 to watch, or there's a pass where you can watch every show. You can go to all the Q&As and do all that good stuff.
Well, that's great. So is there any sort of big actors that I would, or people, maybe some of my listeners would know that you manage?
Sure. Used to manage Ron Jeremy, who is now in jail, the most famous porn star of all time, but I never managed him for porn. I just managed him for like regular movies, and then I don't know, he got involved in the Me Too stuff and I dropped him like a hot potato. And then but like right now, you may be too young for this, but there was the biggest show in the 90s was called Baywatch, and it was huge. And I have, you know, actors from that show and lots of different sitcoms. And you would actually, I bet you if you went to our website, you would just recognize people, because, you know, we have a lot of influencers. We have people from MTV, you know, Tracy Bingham, like I said, from Baywatch, and Jimmy Walker from Good Times, and tons of young comics that are like, you know, going to be huge tomorrow. Huge.
Yeah. So at the minute, or I'm not sure if it's done now, you are starring in the film Unfallen.
Oh yeah, real quick. So yes, I have directed some movies and commercials. If you guys can find it, check out the movie Bro What Happened. It's a really fun movie. It's like a crazy, I don't know. It's like Bro What Happened is like The Hangover meets Superbad. It's really funny and fun. And then Unfallen is a war movie. It stars Michael Madsen and James Hong. And it was filmed in three different U.S. states and Tajikistan. And it's just a really fun war movie. I don't know. It's what it's about is these two brothers that are twins were separated at when they were about seven during the Tajikistan Civil War. One was taken into America, the other was taken to Afghanistan. And they end up meeting during the Afghan war when one, the American, is torturing the other one and realizes not only does he look like him, he's screaming, you know, for his mom, and it's the same mom. And so that's when he realizes he's torturing his own brother. But it's quite a movie. Unfallen.
Wow, indeed. So also you have a book coming out soon, is that
Yeah,
true?
so it's, I don't want to call it a tell-all, but it's like my life. You know how I told you the story about Jamie Foxx and Muhammad Ali and those, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. I've got 10 million more like that, where you would just go, what? What? You know, I would say I'm probably the most interesting man alive. I've had the craziest life. I have. You don't have to be Brad Pitt to have the most interesting life. I think I have had the most interesting life of any human. The weirdest things happen in front of me. You know, I'm like an empath. I'm empathic, so I always feel like good and bad come to me because they know I'll fix it.
Yeah, I understand. So, when can we, or people that are watching this, when can we expect it out?
Gosh. I have a new stand-up special coming out I can tell you about.
We
It's
can't wait.
called Killer Comics Unlimited, and it's me and the best of the new comics out today, and that will be out in about 3 months. And again, it's called Killer Comics Unlimited, and it's going to be great.
Brilliant. So that's all I have. So
Well, good, man. I had a great time on here. And I
thank
got to hang out in Liverpool today.
you. Yeah, well, yeah. So thank you very much for taking your time out to speak to me today.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank
Thanks for
you.
having me on.